You can be seated. And you can turn to, it'll be up on the screen here as well, or in your bulletins in front of you. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at a sermon series called What Does This Mean? Some of you will be very familiar with that question. It comes out of Luther's Small Catechism, which is a book of teaching, of instruction that we hold to as part of the Lutheran Church, a Lutheran faith and practice. And so over the next 6 weeks, in place of confessing our faith with the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed like we typically do, I thought we'd take some time to do some catechesis, which is a big fancy word you can impress your friends with, which simply means kind of learning by question and answer. That's what that word catechesis, catechism, means, learning by question and answer. If you're familiar with the Small Catechism, if you took confirmation or went through that, the Lutheran Church or Catholic Church or any of those, you'll know that it's based on questions and answers. A question, and then you give an answer, and back and forth. And I know some of you probably had to nervously do that in front of everyone, right? A few of you? Still the practice? No? Okay, nobody's going to. You're afraid that if you admit to doing that, I'm going to ask you whether you remember it or not. but I thought we'd take the next 6 weeks here to look at what the Catechism says, the teaching that of the Church, which is basically kind of boiling down what Scripture says, kind of into bite-sized or palatable, memorable things. What it has to say first on baptism, we'll look at that this Sunday and the next Sunday, then on confession, two Sundays following, and then finally on communion, and the last two Sundays. So that's what we'll be doing over the next 6 weeks here for our time together. We'll be learning the catechism or relearning it a little bit, and spending some time during our time during the sermon refreshing ourselves on these basic acts, rites of the Church. And so because this is meant to be a question and answer, kind of read back and forth, we'll do it that way too. Not in German, as some of you did. Again, I won't ask you to identify yourselves because that really dates you. But we'll do this in question and answer form. And again, this is right out of the Small Catechism. If you want one of those, there's a few on the welcome table there if you don't have one. They actually make really good apps and that sort of thing, too, if you want to have it with you all the time. I won't ask you to put up your hand and volunteer for that, but that's available there as well to do some more reading and looking and learning. But let's read this responsively. This is the first two parts of on baptism. It says, as the head of the family should teach it in a simple way to the household. First, what is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. And which is that word of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And second, what benefit does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declares. And which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Who does not believe will be condemned. So like I said, today we're going to be looking at or thinking a bit about baptism and water specifically. Reed already did that a little bit with the kids, and they gave you some helpful answers for some of what we're talking about, what we use water, how we need it. But really, as we think about water, water is really essential to life, isn't it? Maybe one of the most important elements, one of the most important things on the planet that we need each and every day. Our bodies are about 60% water, give or take, probably a little more dry out here on the prairies, but 60% water, various organs, skin and the brain are up closer to 80%, somewhere in there. We're made up of a lot of water, right? We're made up of water. Yes? Okay. I was going to say this isn't a science class. I don't know what I'm really talking about beyond that. There's a lot of water in us. but we're made up of water, and we need it, right? Best guesses of how long you could survive without water. What do you figure? How long could you go without water? A week. I've heard a week on the very outside edge if you absolutely had to. 3 days and your body starts to deteriorate, shut down your critical thinking, and you know all of that really starts to go down after about day three, probably a lot sooner than that, but noticed a response there at day three. All of you who are farmers know also water is important, right? Farmers, ranchers, you need water. You got to water the cows, even if you have to go open up the water bowls and everything else in weather like this. It's essential still. Farmers, you need water to grow your crop, to mix the chemicals. We've been blessed in, what, the past 10 years with an overabundance of water, and now we see the other extreme as of late, right? We're reminded in each and every step the importance of water, the importance of water for life, water to survive. But really, water, too, is something that we need to thrive. It's something that we need to thrive. If you were to look at a map, even from hundreds and thousands of years ago, where are all the cities located? If you go to Europe, where are all the cities located? On a river, on a seaport, right? Harbors, big places. They're all located on water because they recognize the importance of water. They needed to live. They needed to wash. They needed to go swimming, as David, I think, said. right? They needed it for the everyday kind of things of life. They needed it for trade and commerce, to go places, to travel. They needed it. In fact, leader in the whole 32 is kind of an anomaly in terms of historical placement of towns and cities. It was all on water. And I've been doing lots of reading as of late, how water is the next big commodity, right? The next oil, kind of the next boom, and they foresee that for Canada. We have, I think, the world's third largest freshwater supply in the world. The next big commodity, the next important thing for the world. It's all well and good. We need that to survive. We need that to thrive, to grow as people, as an economy, as a nation, as a group. But what's so important about water for us as Christians? What's so important about water for us as Christians? Rita talked a little bit about washing and cleansing and that sort of thing. And historically, if you were to look through the Old Testament, or if you were to read the holy writings of virtually any religion, you'll see that water is involved in lots of their rituals. Right? In the Old Testament, before people came into the temple, what was one of the things that they had to do? They had to wash, ritually cleanse themselves. Right? Numerous times in the Old Testament, we have examples of that, of God telling the people to go and be clean, to go and wash, go cleanse yourself. And again, in virtually any religion across the world, there's some sort of purification rite or ritual involving some kind of water or washing or something like that. But for us as Christians, we know that water takes on a greater significance than just, you know, something that we do, or, you know, it's commanded to do it, or, you know, it's just kind of a practice or something we do. It takes on a greater significance. It's more than just a symbol. There's something else happening here. What makes the waters of baptism important isn't just the, I keep saying I should put water in here, it isn't just the water. You know, the water isn't what makes baptism. It's not just the act, just getting baptized, that's important. But as we heard in the catechism, it's those things combined with God's word of promise and makes baptism important for Christians, for those who follow God. It's God's word of promise combined with these things that transforms ordinary water, ordinary things, an ordinary act into something extraordinary. We talked this morning at Bible study a little bit about sacraments and what they are. I gave a basic kind of definition. I meant to have a PowerPoint, but you're going to have to scribble furiously if you're into note-taking here. A sacrament is an act given by God, that combines a physical element with the promise of God's word to confirm his grace to us. I'll read that again. An act given by God that combines a physical element with God's word to confirm his grace to us. So an act given by God, something physical, that has God's word attached to it, his word of promise, that reminds us of his grace and of his forgiveness. Next week, we're going to dig into some of that, what that means, what that looks like practically for baptism. We'll be looking at Paul in the New Testament in a few places, how he teaches and instructs some of the new churches that he was planting in the New Testament on baptism, what they do, what it means, its significance, and its importance. We'll look at that next week. But we're going to be using this definition today to kind of feel out what baptism is a little bit, okay? Does that work? And I should say from the outset, baptism, especially in North America, it's kind of one of those controversial things to talk about in the church because not all churches agree on its significance, its importance, its act. Doing some digging and research, though, worldwide, approximately 80% of Christians would belong to a denomination that would practice infant baptism. We're believing in the promise of God through the waters of baptism over against those who would practice baptism solely as an act that you do as an adult on confession or on belief. And so, again, just recognizing even in this room that there's probably a diversity of opinion and backgrounds and church upbringings and that sort of thing. But we'll talk and see what God's word has to say, what we learn here today about baptism. First of all, we're using that definition of a sacrament, that act, those rites that we do, baptism and communion. We celebrate within the Lutheran tradition here. Sacrament, it's an act given by God. So how is baptism an act given by God? Where do we see that? We read it together in the Catechism, Matthew 28. This is just before Jesus ascends to be with God the Father again at the end of his earthly ministry, his physical work, walking around on the earth. Jesus gathers his disciples and he says, I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to be here present physically with you anymore. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what I want you to be doing. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. That's where we get what we want to be doing at Trinity, right? Growing committed followers of Jesus. That's that idea. Go and make disciples of all nations by doing what? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the triune God, so there's no confusion, baptizing and teaching, right? Baptizing and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the very end of the age. Sorry, it just feels like you can't end it there. You got to finish it there. But it's given by God. Jesus says this is what his disciples are supposed to do. This is what the church is supposed to do and to be about. Going forth, making disciples, and you do that by baptizing and teaching. By baptizing, welcoming into the faith, welcoming into the church, teaching, encouraging the faith, growing the faith. Doing what we do each Sunday. That's why we have sermons, teaching, encouraging, opening God's word, learning together, growing together. One of the clearest examples there of baptism as being given by God for his disciples, for his church to follow, for us to continue in that practice. There's a few other places in the New Testament as well. It's given by God. The physical element, what's the physical thing here involved? This is the easiest question I'll ask. It's water, right? Water and baptism. Water and baptism is the physical thing that's present. And we talk about sacraments as having a physical element, something touchable, tangible, seeable, as a way of relating or expressing God's grace, his forgiveness, his presence with us. And that's really important, I think, for us as physical people. Right? I was talking a Bible study again today about trying to explain to somebody what a quarter section is. You know, you could say it's, what, half a mile by half a mile, or 1,300 feet by 1,300 feet, or, you know, you can give all the dimensions and the size and kind of everything else, but if you have no idea of the scope or the size of a quarter section, all the numbers in the world probably aren't going to be helpful to you, are they? And some of you still a little rough on what a quarter section is. I don't know. Just us. We're still new here. Right, but actually going out, seeing it, experiencing, knowing what it is helps it take on a different dimension, a different understanding, a different knowing. So too, I think in many ways, that's how it is with the sacraments, that's how it is with the water in baptism. You can touch it, you feel it, you see it, right? You see it dripping, you hear it. In communion, you taste, you see, you smell. Physical element really is a way of drawing our attention, our focus, our mind, reminding us of God coming to the earth. We just celebrated that at Christmas, didn't we? Of God's presence, of God's care, his love for us as physical people. You know, it's one thing for us to know and to say, I know God loves me. I know I'm forgiven. I know God is with me, right? You could say that over and over and over again in your mind. Try to convince yourself of that. But in the deepest, darkest times of life, is it sometimes hard to really believe that? Sometimes it can be. I think that's where it's helpful, having things you can see, you taste, you experience, you know. You're reminded of God's presence, of God's love, his care, his concern for you. Water is important too. We talked in the beginning of our service, the Thanksgiving for baptism. It relays some of the stories of God and his people and water. Right at the very beginning of creation, it says God was there with his spirit hovering over the waters. And he created with his word, and out of the waters came all that's life, and God saw it was good. He was well pleased with it. We recounted the story of Noah, God saving Noah and his family, delivering a small group of people, starting over, washing away the sin, the wrong, all that was upsetting him with the world, but saving that group, preserving them, and carrying on from them, from that family. We recounted the story that's told over and over and over again in the Old Testament of God leading his people out of Egypt, and he didn't do it the easy way, right? He led them through the Red Sea, through the parting of the waters, and then they came down and crashed, defeating the enemy, defeating Egypt, no longer enslaved by them. Water is important for God, for his people, for the life of his people. Baptism, an act given by God, uses water to relay the promise of God. The promise of God. The promise of God is revealed in his word. We heard that in Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. We have other places in 1 Peter chapter 3, which maybe we'll look at next week, that talks about baptism and the link to salvation there of God's work. But I think especially with this Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized, you know, as a church, I think we've done a pretty good job of splitting it down the middle. Right, for those that, especially those that practice infant baptism, you know, we're really good with the whole "and is baptized will be saved," you know, the second part. We're good with that because that kind of takes any onus off of us, any responsibility off of us. And many in other churches are good with the first part, whoever believes will be saved. It's the putting it together, though, that we sometimes miss in that verse. The putting it together that we miss. And that's important that we don't separate it out. Because when we do, we can make it just about the act or just about having faith or just believing and not being a part of something bigger, a part of what God is doing. See, in baptism, it's not just the act. You know, sometimes people come to me and say, I want to get my kid done. You laugh, but it's true. It's true, and I shudder every time. I want to get my kid done. You know, it's not just the act itself that saves. It's not just the act. But it's the act of God together with the water. The life of faith, the upbringing, the faith that is given, imparted, right from a very young age. That's why when we baptize with water, as a sign, as that reminder, forgiveness of sins, or sins are washed away. But then toward the end, we use oil, we make the sign of the cross on the candidate. And for whom do we pray? We pray for the Holy Spirit to come, that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. See, too often I think we think of baptism as kind of a one and done. I've been there, done that. It doesn't matter how I live, what I do. You know, I can check that off. I'm good to go. And I think that's a dangerous precedence to live by. It's a dangerous precedence to live by because that forsakes all the goodness, all the grace of God that's present in his call to us in this act and continuing on through all our days. Because it's the Spirit that leads to faith and that grows faith. That's why historically baptism has been an initiation rite for the church. In fact, at most Catholic churches, where is the baptism font? Have you paid attention or do you know? It's mostly at the front of the church. As you come in, you're being reminded that you've been welcomed into God's family as a physical reminder. It's there in front of you. You could touch, you could feel. You've been welcomed into God's family. That's the value, the importance of baptism. Being welcomed into God's family. Being welcomed by him. Hearing his call on our lives. Receiving his spirit, seeing, experiencing that your sins have been forgiven, that they've been washed by Jesus Christ himself. Experiencing that, living that, making that the reality. It's about welcoming. It's about calling. A reminder that we've been set apart. We've been called by God into his family. We've been welcomed by him. We've received his grace. It's a call for us to go and live it out. To go and live out the new life that is ours because Jesus has forgiven us, because God has called us, because the Holy Spirit has filled us with his power and with his presence. It's in his name. Amen.